Good morning. How's everybody? How was that extra hour of sleep? That was so nice. I almost forgot to set my clock. I did, really. I'm so glad to see y'all here this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we ask you now to speak to us this morning through your word as we open it up and as we give it our attention. God, we ask you to just bless every family represented in this room, every woman in her busy world. I just ask you, Father, to, through our Sunday school class, equip us, make us mature, and I pray you will just bless this lesson in Jesus' name. All right, welcome back. Welcome back to part two. You know, one day we're just going to stay all day and finish a lesson. It's going to be fun. So our topic this morning is on bold praying. Bold praying. Our topic is on being a persistent prayer. Let's start by just reading the text. And so I put that on a separate sheet. Let's read the whole text, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to do a little bit of review because some of you weren't here last week, and because review is really a very excellent way to really learn God's Word. So we're going to be in Luke 11, and we're going to start, I think it's verse 8, is that right?
No,
it's 5, I'm sorry. All right, we're starting with verse 5. Then he, Jesus, said to them, and he's speaking here to a group, he's teaching, his disciples are there, possibly some others. He's just giving them again the Lord's Prayer. Now we have the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, but we almost see an identical text here in Luke 11 as you do see in the Sermon on the Mount, some of the very same teachings. And that's because you know what Jesus did? He went all over, and all over he was teaching the same things. And so in Luke 11, he's doing that. It's a different setting, but he's teaching the very same material. And so he's given them the Lord's Prayer, and now what is different in Luke 11 than the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to give them a little parable, a little story to make a point about prayer. And I cannot tell you how thankful I am he puts this little story in the Word of God. All right, let's go back. Then Jesus said to them, and here comes the parable. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey. I have nothing to set before him, and from inside, his friend answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in the bed. I cannot get up. I cannot give you anything. And then Jesus says this, I tell you, even though the friend will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so this passage starts out with just a very simple kind of earthy routine look at a little village in Judea. And a man that lives there has a situation come up. And he has this unexpected guest arrive very late. And that guest, obviously, is very, very hungry. And he doesn't have any food to offer him. In fact, he didn't even have a piece of bread. Now, that's pretty bad. And so he goes next door to his neighbors, and it is midnight. It's just a simple story, but it's going to teach us something about how we are to pray. Now, I told you last week this, but I'll tell you again. This story really has helped me so much in my own prayer life. And I'm really glad you're here today, because I think it's going to help you too. I want to remind you of the book of Esther. Esther's a wonderful story, but in Esther, we see a typical kind of an earthly monarch. And the Bible describes in Esther 4:11, and I put this on your handout, that this was during the Persian Empire, and during that time, this is how it was with a king. Let's read it together. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, and that is to put him to death. I mean, if the king didn't send for you, and you went into his presence without an invitation, you would just die. Unless, go back to the verse, unless the king holds out to him a golden scepter so that he may live. And that is just the typical way it was with monarchs in history. I mean, you only came when you were invited, and then you came very cautiously. And typically, as you would go into a king, he would be elevated above you. And it was clear that he was above you and that you were his subject and you were under his feet. I remember reading, sometimes you would walk in backwards because you wouldn't even want to look at it. You certainly didn't approach a king demanding anything. In fact, you were very hesitant to even come to the king. Now, we're learning in this little story about prayer that approaches God our King, the King of all the universe. We're learning that approaching him is much, much different than that Persian king. We're seeing some things here about God in this little story. And here are some things we're seeing. God is very approachable. God is available to us. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is compassionate. God is kind. The Bible tells us we can just go right into his presence, the God of the whole universe. We can go into his presence boldly, and we can ask him for anything. Wow. You can go anytime, and you're not interrupting. In fact, that's the very thing God wants his children to do. Look at Hebrews 4:16. This gives you the feel of how you can approach God. Therefore, let us draw near. Let us come to our God and our King. Let us come to our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can we approach? We can approach with confidence. And some other translations have the word boldness there, and I think it's a better word. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, isn't that interesting? He doesn't call it a throne of law, a throne of judgment or justice. It's a throne that's characterized by his grace. That's such good news for us. And so we're to draw near with boldness, with confidence to the throne of grace. And then it says, so that we may find we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, go back to that word confidence, that word boldness. That word in the Greek means you have freedom to speak. It means you can go in and you can say whatever it is you want to say. It means you can enter into God's throne room And you can be bold, and you can be frank, and you can be open. We might say it means just come here and just be up front. Put it all out on the table. Say it like it is. I like what this is telling us. It's that we can go to God, we can ask for whatever we want from the one who is dispensing his grace and his mercy to his children. Now, before we go any further, I just want you to stop with me. Think about this verse. Think about what it's telling you as an individual woman this morning. This is something you need to spend time meditating on. Sometimes when I come to verses like that, I'll just say to God, God, is that really true? I mean, can that be true? That's too good to be true. But you know what? It's in the Word of God, and it is true. I want to be praying this way, don't you? I want to have an attitude of bold prayer that goes to God, and it says, God, now God, you're the one who gave us these promises, and God, this is how you say I can approach you in prayer. You're the one who told me I could come boldly. So here I am, God, and I'm just going to pour out before you everything that's on my heart. This is the kind of boldness that Jesus is teaching about here in Luke 11. And I'm so glad he gave us this parable. Now, last time we talked about God's character a little bit, and we said he's big. I mean, he's really big. He's not just holy. Listen, he's holy, holy, holy. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's all-knowing. He's unchangeable. He's sovereign. He's in complete control of every circumstance, every minute detail. He's working out his own plan perfectly. And sometimes as we consider him and the wonder of all that he is, I mean, it can cause us to feel so insignificant in the whole scheme of things that it might suck the power out of our praying. How in the world am I understand my role in prayer? He's so huge, he's so big. It's his kingdom coming, his will being done, his purpose being fully fulfilled. How do I fit in the role of prayer with him? And let me remind you of the conclusion that we came to last week as we discussed this. Yes, God is absolutely sovereign. God knows the beginning from the end. He's ordained the end, but here's the deal. He's also ordained the means to the end. And I think I put it on your handout this way. One of the means he uses to achieve his ends is our prayers. Our prayers are part of the way his kingdom comes on earth. Now look at James 5:16. We see there that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. Your praying accomplishes things. God's kingdom and God's will comes through your prayers. It's like somehow we're working together with God in bringing his kingdom on earth. Even our simplest prayer is not insignificant to God, just like this simple story. It's really a silly story. All the man wanted was three little pieces of bread. It seems like, well, that's just such a trivial thing. I mean, that's not a great big living or dying situation, is it? It's not an emergency. It's not a great, great need. I mean, this man just had a heart that wanted to show hospitality to his friend who had arrived at his house very late. And that's exactly why Jesus used this parable as an illustration. And so, in our everyday lives, we have what may seem like really, really small things to us. When you compare them with the greatness of God, the vastness of his kingdom and his eternal purposes. And yet, in this parable, we're learning to bring the small things to God. No need to feel embarrassed when we come to God with even the most trivial things in our lives. We don't need to assume that because God is sovereign, he doesn't want us to bring our input. He does. Or our information. He does. We don't need to think that because his divine choice and his wisdom and his power, they're already in place and he's going to do what he's going to do. We don't need to assume that our prayers aren't going to play a part. They are. And we need to come to God in prayer, and we need to come boldly, and whatever the issue might be, Because like everything else in our spiritual experience, God's ends are achieved through means that involve our will, our obedience, our desire, our faithfulness, and our praying. Now go back to verse 8, because I want you to circle the key word, and I put it in bold print. The key word in the whole section is the word persistence there. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he's going to get up and shut that man up, give him as much as he needs, so he'll go away. We talked about that word persistence last week. Let's write down a few things about it. It's a word that means being brash. It means being over bold. It's a word for being shameless. It's a word that means being overly aggressive. It means to have a lot of nerve. Now, Jesus is saying, this man, he got what he wanted because he was shameless, he was bold. He got up in the middle of the night, he went right over to that neighbor's house. He bothered his neighbor. He didn't even seem to concern him that the man was asleep, his children were asleep, and that it was the middle of the night. I mean, he disrupted the whole family. If you know anything about that day, the family would all have slept in one big room together. And in the corner or across the room would have been the kitchen. And so to wake him up would mean for him to get up in the middle of everybody and go over to the other side of the room and find the bread, and it would have been a disruptive thing. And not only that, they bolted their doors at night. It wasn't just open the door. No, you had to go through a whole rigmarole to get the bread out the door. It's showing us how we're to approach prayer. And so Jesus is giving us permission. In this parable, don't miss it. He is giving you and he's giving me permission to come boldly, shamelessly, aggressively, to go to God when it may not seem like the inopportune time. And don't back down. Don't back down. Just go rushing in, rushing out. Coming in, unburdening your hearts, being completely honest with God. And the point of the parable is when you pray, you're going to get what you ask for if you pray that way. Now let me remind you of a verse out of James 1:2. And I put it on your handout. You know why you don't have what you want? Why? Because you haven't asked for it. You have not. Because you ask not. Don't be hesitant to ask God. Come at midnight. Come in any circumstance, however small. If you don't have it, it's because you haven't asked for it. And this is Jesus' invitation to us. You come. Come without embarrassment. Invading, intruding, claiming the promise that we have the invitation to come that way. Because of the words here in Luke 13. Have you learned to pray like this? Lord, I'm just thinking about Luke 11 this morning. And there's some things I want to pray about. And I feel a little silly about praying about these things. But Lord, Luke 11 says, you told me in Luke 11, I could come like that man. I could come at any time. And you're gonna answer me because I come. Learn to pray that way. You know what that's doing? It's learning the Word of God, and then it leads you to pray the Word of God. That gives you boldness when you go in. God, I'm just going to take you at your word. Here I am. And I am praying. And with the parable, Jesus gives the promise, if you'll ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it'll be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open. These are the words out of the mouth of Jesus to us this morning. These words are staggering to meditate on. Don't just read them and let them just, oh, that's nice. No, get them in your heart. Learn to be bold in your praying. Jesus is saying to us, I am telling you, Teresa, if you will come in the middle of the night, if you will come for what might seem small to you, if you will come and hold me to my promise, just as one friend held another friend to his social obligation to show hospitality, to give someone who had a need, if you'll come and hold me to my promises, and you ask, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to open the door. So you start out asking here, and then you get a little more aggressive. You're seeking, and then you just bang on the door. And that is very persistent. And the cool thing about it is it doesn't irritate God. I mean, that man in our story, he got irritated. God never gets irritated. You know what it causes God to do? To open the door and give you the blessing that you're asking for. Now that was a review from last week's lesson. And let's pick up where we left off last week. We saw the picture. We saw a principle. And now we're going to see, the principle of the picture. And I want you to, no, it's not time to write it down. Sorry, I crossed that out. But let me give it to you ahead of time. After that story, and then he makes the analogy, gives us the meaning of the story. He's going to tell us the reason why. You know why? Fathers, look at me. Fathers give good gifts to their children. Now, that's just what fathers do. They love to give good gifts to their children, and mothers do too. We could just say parents. They love to bless their children. Look at verse 11. Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Now we find Jesus is upping this a little bit. He's upping it up beyond friendship. That was the context of the parable. Now he's going to the context of a father. You know what a friend, yeah, I'll be your friend in the daylight. Just don't come to me at midnight, okay? That's where our friendship gets a little sticky, right? My children in bed, it's midnight, this is ridiculous, you just want a few pieces of bread. I'm not interested in being your friend in the middle of the night. Friendship only goes so far. But fatherhood is something else. Your child comes to you in the middle of the night, oh yeah, you're all about it, right? You're going to get up for your child no matter what time. If a friend will respond to your boldness, here's Jesus' idea. If a friend will respond to your persistence, what do you think a father will do? Well, when our children were at home, they never hesitated asking us for what they wanted, right? Because children just expect, if I have a need, I'm taking my need to my parents. This is the way it's been. Ever since I was a baby, and my parents are going to meet my need. That's what parents do. They love, they care, they take responsibility for their children, they have a deep affection for their children. That's the point Jesus is making. He's giving them the promise, you can ask, you can seek, you can knock, and you'll receive, and you'll find, and the door will be open. And this promise is based on the fact that you are coming to a father. You aren't going to mock your children's need. You're not going to give your child something that would harm him. That would be totally unthinkable. Parents just don't do that. They meet all their needs. So the parable, let's look at it. It illustrates you can come at any time, no matter how trivial. You can be overly bold in asking, and then the promise is that whatever it is we seek, whatever it is we ask, if it's in the framework of God's will, he's going to give it. And that brings us to the principle, and here's where I want you to write on your handout, that God is a father. And then he takes the analogy, fathers give good gifts to their children when they ask. Now that takes us now to the most important point. It's actually the bottom line of the teaching here in this chapter given by Jesus. It's a divine premise. It's a biblical doctrine. Now we're going to go into some doctrine. We're going to go into some theology here in verse 13. Let's go there. So Jesus says, if you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, look, who is not evil, who is not fallen, who is absolutely perfect, if you who are fallen in this world, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is absolute perfection and holy, give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now it's interesting. If you go to the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, where this very same wording is, he says it a little differently there. He says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? But here in Luke 11, he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit? Now we're launching down deep in this verse. And this verse is so rich. That little phrase, how much more, is key here. Your heavenly Father, who is holy, who is perfect, who is wise, who loves you perfectly, how much more will he give good gifts? Will he give the Holy Spirit to his children? I just want to say to you as sisters in Christ this morning, we can go to our Heavenly Father. He's loving. He's good. And he's so, so, so much more. Far beyond the most loving father in the whole world. You find the father he gets the prize for being the most loving. Oh, God is so much beyond him. He's perfect in wisdom, in power, in compassion, in grace. He understands us and our situations perfectly. And we can go to him boldly. We can rush in and we can tell him everything, and we can know that he's delighted for us to do this. Look at Psalm 84:11 on your handout. God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I'm giving y'all some verses this morning that you need to sit in for a while. Have you ever gone to God and say, God, this verse says, no good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then you say, well, I don't walk uprightly. Are you righteous or not? Are you? Does that seem a little shameful to say that? You know what? I'm righteous, and let me tell you why. It's because God says that I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so I'm in Christ. His righteousness covers me. And when God looks at me, I am his righteous daughter. And no good thing does he withhold from me. Do you see how knowing God's word is helping us to pray? So how did the Holy Spirit get in this verse? He will give his Holy Spirit there. What does it mean that he's going to give us his Holy Spirit? I wasn't asking for the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was just asking for this thing or this thing or this thing. But how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? God is so, so generous. He doesn't just give me the thing I need. He gives me the source of the thing. He gives me the whole ball of wax. He gives me the Holy Spirit. Each one who is his daughter has the Holy Spirit. If you're his, you have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. Now, look at what 1 Corinthians 8 says there on your handout. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Don't you know this, ladies? I mean, the generosity of God giving us himself, I'm telling you, it's stunning. God himself comes in me. And when Jesus is teaching this parable is coming before the day of Pentecost. And this church hasn't been born yet. And the Spirit has not come yet. You see, on the other side of the cross in the Old Testament, all the people knew about the Holy Spirit. They knew that he was there in the beginning in creation, hovering over the surface of the water. They knew that the Holy Spirit was involved. They knew he was active in creation. They knew that he came at certain times to empower, and he gave prophecy, and he helped empower certain works that happened. They had the promise, though, in Joel, that when the Messiah came, there was going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. And now you and I are on the other side of the Pentecost and the church. And we have the very Holy Spirit of God in us, the very source of every need that we could ever have. He's a resource beyond our wildest imagination. And so, when I go asking God, oh God, comfort me. Well, Teresa, I've given you the comforter. Oh God, I have a need. Well, I've given you the provider. He's got everything you need. He gives us his very, very spirit. He's so generous. Now, he's not like that neighbor, is he? In our parable, who was so bothered and who said, go away. Not now, I'm too busy, don't come now. But okay, I'll finally give in and give you what you want. He's not like that. He gives us, so much more. Like a father who gives good gifts to his children. So the point of this whole lesson, you can go to him. You can go to him at any time, with any need, in any circumstance. And you're not interrupting him. He's delighted for you to come. You can be persistent. You can be bold. You can hold him to his promises. Take his word. Show it to him. God, this is what you said. I'm going to stand on this. And I will tell you, he will answer you according to the powerful Holy Spirit who is in you. Now, has this lesson helped you to see your praying in a different way this morning. Has it? I want you to be women of prayer. I want to be. I mean, are you satisfied with your prayer life? I would say all of us are not. We just need to learn, don't we? And as I said last week, you know, learning God's word should be the catalyst for driving us to bold praying. And if there was ever a time where we needed to pray, it is now. In our country, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. It is a time for us to take prayer seriously. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for challenging us this morning. And for, I mean, really, literally, just lighting a fire of excitement in our hearts to see that you use our prayers as a means to bringing your will and your kingdom on earth. Yes, we're living in very trying times. And yet, this is the place you have us by your sovereignty. This is the time for us, God, to be women of prayer, to stand for your kingdom, and for your kingdom to come in us and through us. And Lord, we're not much, but we have your word and we have your promises, and we can pray. That is something we can do. And so help us to see this morning, our prayers really can make a difference. I get excited thinking about it. Father, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying for those in my world. I'm going to keep praying for my nation, my generation. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying, God, that you will do amazing things, that your kingdom will come. I'm praying for revival. I'm praying, Father, for a turning to you, God. I'm praying for your leaders to be faithful. I'm praying, Father, for our church and our Sunday school class and our needs. God, make us women who are fervent in prayer. Father, just do as you want to do in our generation. Thank you for giving us permission to be bold, to be persistent. Father, showing us that we can come at any time, even with the smallest of things like 3 loaves of bread. And you will hear us. Help us to be women who ask, who seek, and who even bang on the doors of heaven on behalf of our families and our nation and our world. Father, I pray you would knit our hearts together in love, in unity, and help us to pray with each other and to pray for each other. And we ask all these things this morning in the precious name of Jesus, the name that actually gave us the access to enter into your throne room. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next week. Oh, y'all need a really different Sunday school teacher. I'm getting older by the day, and my brain just says crazy things. But next week, we're going to continue in this subject of prayer. We're going to go to a different place. Look at some different things. So come and be encouraged. Get stirred up to be women of prayer. And did y'all know it's 10:25? Look at that clock.
Yeah. Wow.
I did good today. Thank y'all for coming.